Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have David Rowland as my special expert guest. Dr. David Rowland, Professor Emeritus, is an expert in complementary medicine. He received his Bachelor of Commerce degree and MBA education from the University of Toronto and earned a PhD degree in holistic nutrition from an alternative university in the United States. David is the author of 22 books and 88 articles on nutrition and health and has formulated 36 food-based medicines for preventing and correcting a wide variety of health conditions. He is the founder of the Canadian Nutrition Institute, the Edison Institute of Nutrition, and the Nutritional Consultants Organization of Canada. David also received his black belt in karate in 1974. Good afternoon, David, and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update.
Thank you. I'm very pleased to be able to participate.
David, I think of you as a pioneer in this industry, and I know that you've had more than your fill of it, and you've made some massive contributions in both education and with products and literature. So it's very good to have you as my guest. I usually save the best ones for last.
Thank you so much.
But I want to find out from you, as all of our listeners want to know, how did you get into this field and how did you originally develop an interest in food and nutrition and natural medicine?
Well, there's actually two different questions. How I got interested in nutrition was in 1960. As a 16-year-old teenager, I was kind of puny, and I decided I was going to build it myself up. Got a set of barbells and dumbbells and worked out. Then I realized, hey, wait a minute, there are health food stores now. Let's see what they have to offer. So that's how I got into nutrition. And about 1975 or so is when I got into nutritional medicine, because I almost didn't recover from my second or third bout of pneumonia, and the doctors kept giving me these prescription drugs that just kind of made me worse. So I said, nuts, there's got to be a better way, and that's when I went back to school and studied nutrition.
Now, you founded various institutes that teach students about what you know and what you've learned and the principles of health that were founded by the original pioneers that go way back. But thinking of education and science across the board, how would you describe the knowledge level of the typical retailer in a retail health food store in Canada?
I'd say the retailers are disadvantaged to try to educate their customers because, for one thing, there are many dedicated staff, but there's such a turnover in staff that they don't have time to really research products in depth. They get their information from sales reps, and I would say they really don't have a lot of depth of information off their customers. They're very good at knowing which products sell, and you can infer from that the better sellers are the ones that work. But for the most part, the education really isn't what needs to be to do the full service for the customer.
Now, I've read a lot of your books, and you've got quite a few of them, and I've seen them displayed in health food stores, and I've picked them up over the years. Some of them are quick and easy to read. Others are more in-depth. But I think Nutritional Bypass, you promote this idea of reversing arteriosclerosis without surgery. Can you tell us how that is possible?
Yes, it's possible by supporting immune systems. It's quite an irony. The first recorded heart attack occurred in 1910. And before that, heart attacks were unknown. And since then, they've become an epidemic. But our ancestors prior to 1910 were not subject to the same hazards that we are, especially free radical hazards, chemical industrial pollution, and so on. They didn't have the same stress levels. And they're also better nursed. They got more exercise. They were, for the most part, eating organically because there wasn't much else you could choose from. So they were not subject to the same stresses that we are, and their bodies are better nursed. So we can return to that same pre-1910 cardioprotective state by reducing our exposure to the free radicals, but more importantly, to really pump up our immune system to get rid of the atherosclerosis in a natural way. And in the book, I describe about 8 different biochemical ways that this happens. There's an enzyme in the artery wall called lipoprotein lipase. If you get enough vitamin C and other nutrients, it acts like a detergent to scrub away the plaque. And there are 7 other different ways that it works. But basically, you have to give your body a buffet of high potency nutrients, mostly vitamins, minerals, a few amino acids, and some grindier concentrates, so that it can pick and choose what it needs and just go to work on it. And it's an amazing program that's been working, you know, for over 30 years, probably helped over 100,000 people to date. And one of the things that it can do that no other program can do is reverse gangrene. It actually grows new blood vessels into the area, and people don't have to have their toes amputated or their feet.
You know, I started working in a health food store in 75 when I was going to school in the States, and I was working in a gym at the same time. So I had both to sort of teach me, you know, and I've always been an athlete. But I came across a series of books written by Dr. Donsbach. Yes. And this was, I think, in the 80s when I first saw it. He had a rack in the stores, and he had these little booklets that you could read at lunchtime or something. Now, he had this product called Formula FLW, and I know that you eventually somehow came up with your own formula. Were you ever connected with him in any way in business, and did you get some of your ideas for him? Could you tell us about that?
Yes, I attended his school and learned about his products indirectly from his school. And he called his first product AuraFlow, and it was unfortunately copied by about 14 different competitors in the U.S. In order to compete on the basic price, they watered the product down to get the price lower, and eventually they just did themselves out of business because the product didn't stop working. So at first, I started importing Dr. Donsbach's AuraFlow. I had it registered in Canada as the FLW. When in those days, you had to get a DIN number for it, and that was about 1984. But then it wasn't really that good, so I beefed it up and changed the formula a bit, but it's still called FLW. And the idea came from Dr. Donsbach, but the formula is much improved since his day.
Now, I know you're a champion for health freedom. Tell us about your involvement in the industry and how you're trying to do that, what you've experienced and how it is that the government sometimes strangles our freedom when it comes to the availability of great natural health products, which are clearly safe, but for whatever reason, often political, they're not available to be sold in Canada.
Right. I've been fighting this battle for many years. In 1997, I sued the health minister, Alan Rock, and with 1 hour being served, he announced he was going to put a halt to the NPN licensing scheme and have it studied. And of course, it was studied, and a committee made 53 recommendations, which Alan Rock accepted, Parliament accepted, but Health Canada overruled Parliament and just went ahead with the program anyway. The one victory I got out of it was that they'll never be able to impose a user fee, a license fee, on the industry, because I argue that that's an unauthorized tax. In 2012, myself and a couple of others sued Health Canada for 22 constitutional violations with regard to their NPN licensing scheme, their National Health Products Division. What they're doing is you can sell your dietary supplements provided you prove they're not unsafe. Now, how do you do that? That's like, prove you stop beating your wife. And the products, they will not give a license to any product that makes any significant difference to your health, i.e., because they view that it competes with prescription drugs. And the products that are left on the market are largely, they deal with kind of minor complaints, but the ones that used to be effective that are still in the market have to be watered down to meet Health Canada standards, which makes them no longer effective. There have been about 20,000 products restricted from the market, perfectly safe and very effective products, but they're perceived as competition for big pharma. You can't have them. And the 40,000 products that are left are not that great.
How would you compare the quality standards here in Canada to America?
The quality standards are higher because natural health products are regulated as if they're drugs. They're subject to the same good manufacturing practices and so on as pharmaceuticals, which is actually quite onerous because in my case, if I was producing a bottle of multivitamin that has like 30 ingredients, it costs me like $2,600 to do a test to prove that it has exact quantities in there. And then you have to repeat the test at the end of the year and so on after 2 years. Even though there's no products left on the shelf, you still have to prove there still has the quantity you put in it. So it's a rather onerous thing that's not required, but it does make it more, not tighter than the American regulations. There's nothing wrong with the American regulations, however, because before a product can be sold, the manufacturer has to have it tested to make sure there's no pathogens in it, no molds, yeast, and so on and so on. The difference is that the FDA doesn't enforce the way that Health Canada does, so there might be some things that slip through. However, the safety record of both industries in Canada US is immaculate. Nobody's ever died from taking vitamins or dietary supplements. Even if they overdose on them, they might get sick, but nobody's ever died.
Yes, and that often is implied, though, through these sensationalized publications in headlines and now on the internet. What is your advice to people who read this stuff that says, like, don't take vitamin E or be careful about magnesium or calcium? And it has a very negative connotation and misleads people, obviously. But what is your advice to those people when they read this stuff?
Find out who paid for the research that said that, because it's usually somebody with an axe to grind, somebody who's anti-supplement. But the other thing is, most of those reports are not actual scientific studies. What reporter does, or the so-called scientist does, is go through previous studies and pick out the ones that reinforce a predetermined point of view and reject those studies which don't. And then if somebody is really in doubt about it, send it to me and I'll show you the clinical errors and the scientific errors. I'll give you an example. This myth that cholesterol causes heart disease is without any scientific foundation whatsoever. There's something called a coefficient of correlation in studies. It tells you how predictive your theory was. If the coefficient of correlation is 1.0, that's 100%. And your theory predicted every result you got. If your coefficient of correlation is 0, it means your theory isn't worth squat. It didn't predict anything. Now, guess what the highest coefficient of correlation was for any cholesterol study? 0.3. That's 30%. That's less than the coin toss. And that's the garbage they've been feeding us as scientific research. So there are many, many flaws in these studies. If anybody wants specifically with the flaws, send it to me and I'll figure it out for them.
In your book, Food Alone is Not Enough, you're advocating that we take supplements. Now, besides the fact that the food is incomplete or maybe the soil does not provide the minerals, what are some of the other positions you have that would lend credence to the notion of taking dietary supplements?
Well, there's one big argument that virtually everybody overlooks, especially the scientists, and that is that human beings, apes, guinea pigs, and fruit-eating bats, have suffered a mutation way, way back in their evolutionary ancestry. Our bodies do not produce an enzyme in our livers, and the enzyme is called L-glutamyl-lactone oxidase. What that enzyme does is it converts blood sugar into vitamin C. So we in the apes can't do it. And this is why sailors died when a third of the crew would be lost at sea because they got scurvy, because when they're away from fruits and vegetables, you don't have any vitamin C at all. So number one, even if you took no other dietary supplements, take vitamin C and you'll be doing a lot for your health. Linus Pauling, I heard him speak back in the late 70s, early 80s, was saying that research monkeys are very valuable. And in order to keep research monkeys alive, they have to give them 70 times the amount of vitamin C that is suggested for humans to take. So that's reason number one for taking supplements.
Do you like the idea of using ascorbic acid or ascorbates as powder and mixing it in juice or adding it, say, to a protein shake? Is that a good idea?
That's the most cost-effective way to do it. You know, it costs you something to put it in the tablets and capsules, then you get fillers and so on. That's a great way to do it, but it's hard to get powdered ascorbic crystals nowadays, is it not?
Yeah, I use the natural factors. They produce it by the kilo. It's calcium ascorbate, and we've been using
that.
Fine. I'm a big fan of Pauling, too. We take it by, you know, literally the teaspoon and the tablespoon and have for a long time. So I'm really happy to know that you're big on that and advocate vitamin C. That's our favorite one above all if we had to choose only one. But, of course, yeah, we don't have to choose only one. We have a real smorgasbord in our cupboard and really enjoy taking them. Tell me, what are some of your favorite supplements for yourself that you like to rely on and take on a daily basis?
I have a number. Most of them are my own formulations. Number one is RTRE. It's a food version of the old FLW for removing the plaque from the arteries. It's got 30 different nutrients in it, and as you say, a complete smorgasbord in one tablet, except that one tablet isn't enough. You have to take anywhere from 5 to 10 tablets a day to get everything you need, depending on your state of health, your stress levels, and so on. My second favorite one is a digestive enzyme I formulated. That the feedback I get from practitioners, it's the most effective one they've ever used. It combines not just your pancreatic enzymes, it's got betaine hydrochloride for the stomach acid and bile, which your body really needs for emulsifying and absorbing fat.
Sounds pretty good. Now, what methods do you endorse? In your book, it's called Young at Any Age. What is one method that you would like people to take up to help them turn back the aging clock?
I'm very fortunate. I'm 71 years old, and I have a 61-year-old brother who looks a lot older than I do because I don't believe in aging. I don't have a role model to follow, and I feel ageless. So if you can achieve that feeling, that's step number one. Then the two formulas I just mentioned, the one for the arteries, that keeps your whole circulatory system young, and if you keep your blood flowing, and you actually improve your blood flow, every part of the body benefits from that. Then the digestive enzymes, the digestive, anybody over 40 usually doesn't digest their food as well as they used to. And all the health begins with digestion. If your digestion, you cannot get much benefit from your food and you're wasting your money on your supplements.
I'm just watching a debate. I subscribe to Intelligence Squared online, and these are formal debates, and this particular topic is lifespans are long enough, and it's featuring someone I'm sure you know, this Aubrey de Grey, that fellow with the long beard. He's doing research in gerontology. Do you know of him?
Actually, no.
Okay.
I'm pretty much a recluse in some ways.
Okay. So anyway, I'm going to ask you this question, because the debate is on one side, you know, they're all scholars. It's very well done. It's online, and I'll send you the link. It's really interesting to watch these debates. But the one side says, no, that people live long enough, and we should put our resources and science into other areas that are by far more important. And the other side is saying health is number one. And instead of putting all the money into treating all these old people, I guess 90% of the medical budget is treatment for seniors, we should put resources into the extension of life and find out how these diseases are all relative to aging. What is your take on that?
The first thing that pops in the mind is who has the right to decide where resources are better spent? Obviously, it's on health, because if you look after yourself, your nutrition, exercise, lifestyle, and so on, you're going to extend your life. That's just the way it is. That's what the effort needs to be. If there's a choice between trying to help people who are old or you're just trying to help people with their health, go for the health because it benefits everybody.
Yeah, my thoughts exactly. Now, when it comes to eating food, we've got the paleo approach, we've got veganism. You know, we know in biology that humans are omnivores. What type of dietary approach do you take when it comes to food?
I'm an omnivore, and I make sure I have enough protein, enough quality fats, whole grains and veggies and occasional fruit on top of that. Was there more of a question, or is that it?
No, that's good. There seems to be a lot of evidence mounting against grains, even the whole grains. You know, we're not talking about sprouted or fermented, just how people normally eat them. What is your feeling about the consumption of grains and the entire impact of agriculture on the planet?
Well, that's a big question. There's too much dependence on grains because it's mostly because it's cheap, and especially refined grains. It's just like you're not actually giving your body much, but you're creating more work to get rid of the garbage you just put in. Wheat has been hybridized. It's got so many agricultural chemicals in it and so on. So wheat is a difficult one to digest and absorb. Like rice is a nice grain because it hasn't been fooled around with, tinkered with, and so on. But depending on which dietary approach you're using, there's too much emphasis on grains. I'd like to make a comment about veganism, however. If a person is a vegan, they have to be really, really careful to get enough protein, because just eating plants, you know, is at random or a nice, pleasant combination on your plate isn't going to give you enough protein. You have to combine at every meal the legumes plus a grain, you know, like peas, beans, lentils with, you know, rice or whatever. And the other thing is that vegans tend to be shy on B12, which is found only in animal food. Just fortunately, it's also has fungal sources, so you can get B12 tablets that are not from animals. And so the protein of B12 are issues, plus zinc is sometimes an issue. But even if you're an omnivore, you still, there's different precautions. If you're an omnivore, you got to make sure you have enough fiber, enough water, and so on. It's just whatever approach you're taking, you just have to make sure it's balanced.
Very good. When a vegan asks me what I eat, I often say, people like you. And it's a good thing I just ate, because I'm going to pass over you right now.
A good one on the Facebook. Somebody had a picture of a huge gorilla and said, there's a vegan. So on my comment, I wrote back was, yeah, except he has to eat 70 pounds of foliage a day to get enough protein. And he also supplements his diet with insects, grubs, and the occasional rodent.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of people don't think of that. Even cattle. And the grazers, they get all kinds of insects and animals in their food stuff, don't they?
They have to get B12 from somewhere.
That's right. Yeah, there's just so much of what we think about nutrition is based on a fairy tale. And that's what I love about the science and digging down by your own bootstraps and doing the work like you've done and bringing that out to people. So that's marvelous. David, we're coming near the end. Now, can you tell us about your website address, and what we'll find there?
Okay, it's vitamost.com. You'll find my formulations in some of my books.
Okay, and then we can order them online directly from your site?
Exactly. And the Buyers Club, you can join me, get a 25% discount plus volume discount.
Okay, sounds really good. So, David, thanks so much for being my special guest. It's been an honor to have you on the show, and glad that you had the time to be available. And we always ask our guests for a final parting comment, perhaps something philosophical or meaningful, so that we'll give you that opportunity right now.
Well, I don't have anything philosophical to say quite, but I really, really appreciate your dedication to this industry. I just love it. You're a pioneer also. And a pioneer has a lot of stamina, and I just really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much, David. I really take that to heart. Dr. David Roland, Professor Emeritus, is an expert in complementary medicine. He's the author of many books that are definitely worth reading, many articles on nutrition, and please check out his supplements at his website. David, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com.
Represent a lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU. Sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight. Malik with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life. Live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see a change in heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.